Ladies and gentlemen, the NBA trade deadline has officially come to a close. And during a period where we saw several all-stars suddenly change addresses, it's only right that we have you covered on all of the latest that took shape over the last 24 to 48 hours as the league's present and future landscape has been completely altered. Welcome back, everybody, and thank you so much for taking the time to tap in with us here on Second Chance Points, an extension. The new 24 podcast. I'm your host, Gabriel Wilkins, and I'm back at it again beside the man of many talents himself and Torrence Stagger to talk about all of the recent moves that went down. Let's get right into it, starting with a deal that got finalized shortly following our episode 13 recording this week on a new 24 between the Washington Wizards and Milwaukee Bucks. The Milwaukee Bucks traded away one of their franchise cornerstones for over the last decade. His three-time All-Star forward, Chris Middleton, is making his way to the nation's capital to join the Washington Wizards in exchange for Kyle Kuzma as part of a multi-player deal. The Bucks also sent out rookie guard A.J. Johnson as well as a future pick swap to Washington. Middleton, who helped the Bucks garner their first NBA championship in a half a century 4 seasons ago beside Giannis Antetokounmpo, leaves the Cream City ranking second all-time in franchise history. Minutes and games played, in addition to third all-time in points, as Middleton stands only behind the great Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Giannis on Milwaukee's all-time leaderboard. According to reports out of D.C., the Wizards intend to keep Middleton around for his veteran prowess as opposed to buying out his contract in an effort to mentor the younger talent on their roster. Torrence, what do you make of this deal for the two parties involved?
It was a necessary move. For the Milwaukee Bucks. The Bucks, they on a time clock with Giannis over there, Damian Lillard, Doc Rivers even. Guys that's getting up there in years in the league. Chris Middleton, former NBA champion with the Bucks, definitely might get his jersey retired up there, but this season he hasn't been playing the best. I know he had surgery on both ankles over the offseason. So you get bring in Kyle Kuzma, someone who plays a similar position, somebody who can score, get some buckets. Things that you were accustomed to getting from Chris, but he just hasn't been able to deliver on a consistent basis over the last few years. As far as the Washington Wizards, I don't know. I don't know. You know, the whole being a mentor thing, it sounds good on paper. But just let that man free. You know, they're not doing a bio. I mean, unless Chris wants to take this year to, you know, just get his body healthy, might not play as many minutes if, you know, they want to get the young guy some shine. And like you said, have him really mentor. And that'll be cool. But I don't really see any benefit to that team, honestly, from this.
I understand where you're coming from in regards to that matter, as far as it pertains to Chris Middleton being in Washington. I know that there's several contenders that he could help out, and many people have alluded to that and said it time and time again. But I also understand where the Wizards are coming from, wanting to keep a guy like that around because he's a guy that's a former champion in the league, has success over the course of his career with the Milwaukee Bucks, and will provide guys such as Bilal Coulibaly and Bob Carrington and the like with a mentor, show them how to be professionals, not only on the floor, but also off the floor. When I look at the deal, yeah, it was definitely a deal that had to happen. As you said, Kyle Kuzma is a guy that could be the number three option behind Dame Lillard and Giannis Antetokounmpo in Milwaukee. He's a guy that could score from all three levels of the floor. I think they'll miss Middleton's playmaking, but like you said, the best ability that you have is your availability. And this is a guy that's been injured quite often. Like you said, he had surgery on both his ankles this past offseason. We know he's had some troubles with his knee. At one point in time, this was a guy that was one of the most versatile two-way players in the game. He hasn't been able to do as much, you know, since having those injuries. And defensively, he's regressed. They need a guy that can provide them with an offensive punch. Kyle Kuzma can do that. Can he provide them with playmaking? Remains to be seen. But I don't mind the move, especially when you have a Giannis Antetokounmpo in the fold. Who is clearly let it be known that if the Milwaukee Bucks aren't committed to winning, that he is no longer committed to being in Milwaukee for the foreseeable future. So You got to play this year by year if you're John Horst in the front office in Milwaukee, and you can't just play and treat time as being idle.
Yeah, he definitely has them on the clock. I mean, the writing seems like it's pretty much on the wall. So I guess they figure whatever first round picks they lose in an effort to keep them, they can get back if it ever comes to the day that they need to trade Giannis and following up the Damian Lillard. So, I mean, I think it's definitely appropriate for them to make these kind of moves. I still think they probably should have made another one if possible. You know, like I like Bobby Portis a lot. Once again, if you could possibly upgrade that just from a talent standpoint or get another big because Brooke Lopez is getting up there, I think that would have been a good move.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember calling from Milwaukee to get a big a couple of years ago after they got knocked off in the Eastern Conference semifinals at the hands of the Boston Celtics. And that's something that they have yet to address. I know they got Kevin Porter Jr. from the Los Angeles Clippers today as well. But although most people who grade and review trades would view Kyle Kuzma as the obvious winner in the deal, some fans as well as media members are quick to point out how the former NBA champ, the Lakers, has been one of the driving forces as to why the Wizards have been historically bad this season. In spite of showcasing that he can be a valuable piece on a legit title contender when featured in a role that's better suited for his talents, what do you make of those who seek to make initial judgments on how Kuzma will fare out in Milwaukee based on all that transpired over this season out in D.C.?
He was just a guy that was just, I mean, that was a bad situation. You're accustomed to playing high-level basketball. You know, he was on the Lakers with LeBron and Anthony Davis for, I believe, at least three seasons. Still got to get his shots up, not to the extent he did in Washington, but he's been able to get his shit off on the court and still win games. And none of that's transpiring. And you're starting to see them prioritize other guys over him. So now I'm not even getting the shots. I'm not getting the stats. Therefore, I'm not getting the money, which means I might as well go play for a contending team and set myself up long term to be a consistent role player. Because the big money's getting messed up by me not getting the shots over here. And that's one thing that I do like for Milwaukee. Kyle Kuzma's already been in this type of situation before, playing besides two stars, playing in a situation where the spotlight's bright. He's already done that. And he's still pretty young. He can still move around. He still provides great size for them to play alongside Giannis and Brooke Lopez. He can stretch the floor. So, I think any of these contending teams would have loved to have Kyle Kuzma on their team, especially in this situation.
100%. And I think he's been given a career lifeline on a team that is seeking to contend, make a push back to championship status where they were four seasons ago. And he's in a situation where they're going to play him in a role that's better suited for his talent. And I always try to tell guys this, and I know you know this, Torrance, just as well as I do. Where you go and your fit on a team can make or break players. I think Kyle Kuzma, in the 4 years he was in Washington, had some good moments. But as you said, they prioritized the younger players and developing them over the veterans on the roster. And once he saw his minutes started to get cut short, I could understand why he took it a certain way, especially when he knows that he's still capable of getting a job done at the age of 29. I believe that Kuzma will be fine in Milwaukee as long as the defensive effort is there. Offensively, I've never worried about him. He's always been a guy that's capable of getting anywhere between 15 to 20 points a game. And then some nights when you need him, he gets off to a hot start. He could get hot and get you 30 every once in a while. I like the fit, but for those who want to make these initial judgments on how he's going to fare in Milwaukee based off of what they saw in Washington, I just tell them, don't be so quick to judge him off of that. You got to pay attention to fit and situations that guys are in, which oftentimes can make them break so many guys' careers, as we talk about all the time with the NBA draft. It's something that's very important. In addition to the trade between the Wizards and Bucks, we also saw a trade that took place between the New Orleans Pelicans and Toronto Raptors involving Brandon Ingram as the man who was named Most Improved Player in 2020 during his inaugural campaign down south in the Big Easy, is now headed north to the Six to star on the Raptors. New Orleans received Bruce Brown Jr., Kelly Olynyk, to go beside a first-round and second-round pick as part of the official package. Ingram, who hasn't suited up in a contest since December the 7th, due to suffering an ankle injury against Oklahoma City, hopes to be ready to return in the next couple of weeks to make his official debut for Toronto. We know Ingram is in the final year of his current contract that's paying him $36 million and is set to become an unrestricted free agent after this season. Rich Paul of Clutch Sports is Ingram's agent, and we know that the power broker himself will be out to ensure that he takes care of his client. How do you think Ingram will fit in Toronto, and do you believe they'll re-sign him to an extension once the time comes to do so?
One thing I want to say quickly about this trade, and just in itself, this was like, what the fuck are both franchises doing? Like, what are the Pelicans trying to accomplish? What are the Raptors trying to accomplish? The Pelicans got Bruce Brown for what reason? Bruce Brown's been, at least the media has been begging for him to be on a contending team for what, 3 seasons now? And you end up in New Orleans, going nowhere. Literally one of the worst teams in the league. I just think that's crazy. As far as Brandon Ingram and how he'll fit on Toronto, I haven't watched Toronto since earlier in the season. But I know that Scottie Barnes and R.J. Barrett have the ball a lot. And I know Emmanuel Quickley is still there. And I know that Brandon Ingram likes to shoot the ball. And in some ways, R.J., Scottie, and Brandon Ingram play the same position. In theory, they probably all are best suited as threes. I'm sure that they'll put Scottie at the four, Brandon at the three, and RJ at the two. Honestly, I don't know how he's going to fit over there. Will he get the extension? At this point, it looks like Toronto willing to pay anybody to play over there. So, yeah, it looks like he's going to walk away with some kind of contract. But do I think he's going to be on the Raptors long term? I just don't see it because I don't really see this being a successful situation because I have no clue of what the Toronto Raptors are actually trying to accomplish at this point.
They're stockpiling a ton of young talent. RJ Barrett right now is in the midst of having a career season. Scottie Barnes was an all-star season ago. You get Brandon Ingram in the building. You got 3 bucket getters. Emmanuel Quickley, you actually got 4 of them. But it's only one ball. Who's going to be willing to play off the ball? Who's going to be willing to be the playmaker or the initiator of the offense? Like you said, we know Brandon Ingram can score with the best of them, and that's what he likes to do, and that's really what he does best. I have questions in regards to how he fits with this current Raptors roster. I really do. If they are to re-sign him to an extension, they're going to have to find out who exactly are they going to trade because they're going to clear up some room in order to grant him a long-term extension. And if it's a short-term extension, they could possibly find a way to wiggle around some things. I have questions about the fit myself. I like it from the standpoint that they have talent. Outside of Scottie Barnes, who they've paid an exorbitant amount of money to be there in the long term, I don't know what other parts consist of their core with the way that guys are moving in and out. If they are interested in trading R.J. Barrett, I believe that this upcoming summer will be the ideal time to do so while his value will be at its highest. Then again, like I said, we got to see how Brandon Ingram is going to play in Toronto and how he will fare there. But they got somebody that is talented offensively when it comes to scoring a basketball, can score from all 3 levels of the floor, kind of like a remixed version of Kevin Durant, if you will. Like you say, I do believe that they can and will re-sign him to an extension. But if it's long-term, that means someone else is gone. If it's short-term, you got to wiggle. You know, you get a little wiggle.
And see, that's the thing, too. That these guys aren't – this isn't the most efficient group of guys either. These guys like to take tough shots. I'm not going to call them bad shots. Who am I to judge? Jump shots way better than mine. But they like to take a lot of tough shots. I know this much. Watching somebody miss a tough shot as a teammate is frustrating because you could have just passed the ball because I feel like I could have scored. Now imagine it being 2-3 other guys on there with something to on the court with something to prove, feeling like they should have took that shot. Scottie Barnes' contract starts next season, the extension. RJ, he's on a fairly good deal. He got like 2 more years, 50-some million left on it. You speaking about RJ getting traded? Maybe Scotty Barnes might be the guy that needs to get moved.
That happens, I'd be very curious to see where he lands. I wouldn't mind seeing it from the standpoint of the free agency madness and the sign and trade stuff that you see throughout the summer. But man, I feel like somebody got to get moved. Like, I'm looking at Brandon Ingram's numbers right now through the first 18 games he's played this season: 22.2 points, 5.6 rebounds, 5.2 assists per game in 33 minutes of floor time on average. Brandon Ingram, we saw it in New Orleans. He proved to be a shaky fit beside a point forward that has an iffy outside shot in Zion Williams. That's the same thing that he's walking into in Toronto with Scotty Barnes. Some of the fit issues are half court or within the half court, like with the space and congestion, that often results from Ingram's preference for working in the mid-range area of the floor rather than taking a three ball, despite having, you know, great shoot numbers from downtown. The defensive effort got to be there as well with him.
But like you said, though, they stockpiling, like, some interesting talent. And me and you, not to speak too far ahead, but we've spoken about a few star players or superstar players in the next couple of years who might be looking at Toronto as a destination. So at least putting themselves in position to make those trades or signing trades if those days ever come to fruition.
I add this to what you just said as well, Torrance. Could you imagine if they got the number one overall pick, the variety of directions that they could go with it?
Well, let's say like the number two or three pick. They ain't getting that one pick, but I get what you're saying.
Right. Even a top three or five pick could do wonders though for Toronto.
Let me tell you something. Cooper Flagg will not be playing outside of the United States of America. I tell you that much for sure. Bleed red, white, and blue. Understand. Cooper Flagg. Captain America for sure.
No, but like if they got a top three or five pick though, man, they could go in a variety of directions with it. That's all I'm saying.
No, they definitely can because they not doing anything. Like we spoke about teams playing in the middle, the Kings, the Bulls, Toronto right up there with them. They look how long it took them to break up that championship team that Kawhi Ben left. Like Siakam just got moved. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, he was the last domino.
So I get it. You want to kind of be like Utah and the Pacers and the Heat where you always kind of in the mix to make something happen, make a move, but it ain't working this time, man.
Well, I guess that's why you get active on the trade market the way that they did to acquire a former All-Star, and they did just that. Now, let's get into arguably the most surprising trade that went down during the deadline outside of the Luka Doncic, Anthony Davis trade. We took time out to exclusively discuss at the top of the week, and that is a trade between the Charlotte Hornets and Los Angeles Lakers. In the latter hours of trade deadline eve, the Lakers managed to address their needs at the five spot by acquiring Mark Williams from Charlotte in exchange for Dalton Connect and Cam Reddish and go alongside a 2031 unprotected first-round pick and a 2030 pick swap. Williams, who started beside LaMelo Ball for 2.5 years out in the Queen City, is currently averaging 23.6 points, 14.5 rebounds, 3.7 assists, and 1.8 blocks per 75 possessions this season. This was a trade that we managed to see two young guys dealt for one another who are the same age. As Williams will provide Luka Doncic and LeBron James with a vertical lob threat in the pick and roll, while Connect will get plenty of chances to develop and show just what he can do out on the wing with Brandon Miller out for the rest of the way on the Hornets. What are your overall thoughts on this deal that has the chance to be beneficial for both sides? We said that the Lakers will get a big at the top of the week, and they did just that.
Let's start. I'm going to start with the Charlotte side. Let me start there first. I thought that Dalton Connect pickup was like a great move, man. Honestly, I think that was a great move. LaMelo Ball and Brandon Miller, they're two of the top players in the league when it comes to 3-point made per game and attempts. They basically are both hitting four threes a game. And then you bring in Dalton Connect. So you talk about the Splash Brothers, Steph and Clay. I mean, Charlotte, under the radar, man, they kind of building something that's a little similar. Now you bringing in another guy who can shoot and put the ball on the floor too and attack the rim at times and Dalton connect. Yeah, you lose Mark Williams. He's somebody that, at least inside that building, he's been struggling with injuries. And maybe you just like, hey, we can move on, and this is still a high-value player we can pick up. Because if we redo that draft, I think Dalton Connect goes up a few spots. I kind of look at this as like the equivalent of that. For the Lakers, I mean, hey, you're upgrading talent. You're able to stay young, you know, with Williams being 25. I think it was a great. I mean, they got Luka, bro. So it's everything else is like we'll just see at this point. Like they got Luka, so every move in addition is great. I'm not too bit much of a fan of them losing Dalton Connect because they lose some spot up shooting, and that's very important with LeBron and Luka. And they also lost Max Christie in the Anthony Davis deal. I mean, you got Luka, possibly a center for the future as well. Somebody that they can also grow and develop in a lot of ways. I know the stat they keep throwing out with him is his standing wingspan is 9 feet 9 inches. On recorded at the combine, even taller than Wimby's. I mean, you talk about rim protection. And to me, this is something LeBron never gets credit for, but he's one of the best off-ball like defenders I ever seen. In those his first Cleveland run, those last 2 to 3 years, they had a top five defense every year in the league. And when you go look at the players that were in that lineup, you don't see just some premier defenders. But LeBron was able to play free safety, make a lot of plays off the ball, cleaning up around the rim, guarding the other team's best player. He doesn't get credited for this now because he's been playing so long, we've actually just watched him be old and not have those responsibilities. So he's going to be around some great basketball minds. So I think this situation can definitely be great for him.
I like the trade a ton for the Lakers, man. Mark Williams, for those who don't know, came out of Duke, was selected 15th overall in the 2022 draft by the Charlotte Hornets. Dynamic player and a presence in the pick and roll, especially as a lob threat. A guy that can protect the rim for you, can rebound. Only thing that has always been an issue with him since entering the league has been his health. Dealt with back injury, dealt with some issues with his foot. If he can find a way to just stay healthy, I think he's an automatic double-double more often than not on this Lakers squad. You're pairing him beside two of the best playmakers in the game who, if they see you, are wide open, they're going to find you. If Mark Williams was able to put up damn near 16 and 10 beside LaMelo Ball, ain't no telling how much he could put up beside Luka and LeBron James. He's an athletic big that can run the floor. And I truly believe that this is the type of big that Luka Doncic would have loved to have had during his days in Dallas. And now that he has it, I expect him to feast. I believe that you're looking at a guy that could not only be a future all-star if he stays healthy, but a guy that could lead the league in field goal percentage because he's very effective and efficient inside the paint. He has good footwork. He's a kid that's willing to learn, very coachable. You know, coming from that Coach K background, he starred alongside Paolo Banchero, for those who don't know, on Mike Krzyzewski's last team in Durham that ended up reaching the Final Four back in 2022. So I've really been impressed with what I've seen from him this season. And he's really coming to his own over the last month and some change. As you know, I highlighted him in our opening tip-off segment just a few weeks ago where he had came off a game where he had 20 and 10 going into the half against the Phoenix Suns. Like, the dude is a very dominant player when he puts his mind to it and he's active on the floor and he stays healthy. That's the health is really the only concern that I have with Mark Williams. And I believe he has a nice touch on his shot as well, that if he continues to work on it and he gets a little strength in the weight room over the years, if he's able to stay healthy, I think he could develop it and go from 10 feet to 15 feet, you know, with a little mid-range jumper. So I like the upside that this guy has. As for Charlotte, with Dalton Connect, he got a hell of an opportunity to get an extensive amount of minutes, something that he was missing in Los Angeles. And as we know, when you're playing beside LeBron James with Dalton Connect skill set, you more than likely gonna be in catch and shoot scenarios more often than not. Dalton Connect gonna be able to get to it a little bit in Charlotte. I expect for him to be getting a lot of opportunities off ball scoring wise as well as on the ball. I look forward to seeing how that Hornets team looks on league pass with him and LaMelo. Once they get a healthy Brandon Miller back in the fold, they can really do some damage offensively.
Yeah, because didn't they coach was it Charles Lee?
Charles Lee, that's correct.
He just came from Boston, right?
Yes, he did.
And what would we say about the Celtics, man? They trying to put up 53s a night. And like, you see what I'm saying? Brandon Miller, LaMelo, Dalton Connect. Right now you still got Miles Bridges playing the 4-2. That's a cool model they building over there. Cause see the guys on Boston, I wouldn't call those the most natural shooters. Like, they got guys who are natural shooters, but they can put the ball on the floor and do more with it. And then, like, lastly, with the Lakers, that's what made their deadline so great. Like, they stayed young and they got younger. They upgraded the talent, but they managed to get younger. And, you know, I said in a previous episode on the New 24 that one thing Bron lacked in his career was patience, not being around letting young guys develop. Well, they got some young guys, but they guys that are ready now to contribute. Definitely interested to see how they look going forward.
And last but not least, Jimmy Butler, a man whose name we've heard and seen consistently throughout the NBA news cycle for over the last 2 months, was finally dealt away. Is the saga down in South Beach that went down between the six-time All-Star and Heat president Pat Riley has officially come to a close after seeking to pursue a potential reunion with Kevin Durant in an effort to make a late-season push toward the playoffs and getting rejected by the two-time NBA Finals MVP. The Golden State Warriors pivoted towards Jimmy Buckets and were able to acquire the disgruntled star as part of a multi-team trade in a deal that's still being ironed out. According to reports, he are expected to receive Andrew Wiggins, Kyle Anderson, and a first-round pick in this year's draft via Golden State that is top 10 protected, but becomes unprotected in 2026 should the pick fall within the top 10 this year. Torrence, what do you make of the return that the Heat managed to get for Butler? How do you see things working out for him in Golden State after also signing off on a two-year $121 million extension shortly following the news?
I think that he came out great. You know, I think Andrew Wiggins, new situation. You know, he's going through a lot, personal issues, I guess, during his Golden State years, the last few years. Got a brand new situation. I think he's coming in and Tyler Hero at this point is the established first option. But Andrew Wiggins going to definitely get a chance to start back averaging 20 to 24 points a game again. Combine that with his defense, I think it's going to be a seamless fit over there in Miami. If he's up for the challenge, if he's locked in, because from the outside looking in, people are always questioning his effort and his just motivation and motor. And we've seen examples of him in the NBA Finals, what he can be if he's all the way bought in. You got to take a chance on a player like that. And they got a first-round pick because that Warriors situation is shaky. As for the Warriors and getting Jimmy Butler, I'm going to just say two things. One, I don't think this move does anything for him. I don't think it moves the needle at all. I think they're going to give somebody a great first-round matchup. I think Draymond and Jimmy are going to do a lot of talking, making everybody feel like, you know, they the bullies on the block and nobody want to play them. And I don't think people give a fuck no more. That's just my personal opinion about it. But two, it's just a thing circulating on Twitter and it's going around. But it's something me and you've been talking about. Not in this direct way, but we've been saying for years, like, one place Giannis is going to end up possibly is the Golden State Warriors. And you got some people feeling like Jimmy's contract is going to facilitate that possibly this summer. I don't see him, this extension, I just don't see this being with the Warriors long term. Will it be for a Giannis move who actually knows? That's just a rumor right now. People just writing shit on the internet. But it's kind of feasible. Outside of that, I don't see any long-term benefit to Jimmy Butler being on the Golden State Warriors.
When I look at what the Heat got in return for Butler, I think they made out very well. You're getting a guy, Andrew Wiggins, who can still produce on the floor for you defensively as well as offensively. Could be a mentor to guys like Nikola Jokic on the wing. I think he's going to provide them with a lot. I definitely expect him to come out very motivated, proving that he can still be a quality option offensively when guys seek to go to him, because I believe that they're going to lean on him a lot beside Tyler Hero offensively in the second half of the season as we get past the All-Star break into to the home stretch of the year. I also like that they got first-round pick in this year's draft from Golden State, which, in my opinion, I believe is definitely going to fall outside the top 10. And as we know, the Miami Heat over the last 2 years have done a pretty good job in drafting outside the top 10. They got Jaime Jaquez Jr. out of UCLA in the 2023 draft. And then last year, they went out and got Khalil Ware. He's been playing some great basketball as of late since being inserted in the starting lineup for Eric Spoelstra. You see the numbers. He's looking like a guy that could be in the running for Rookie of the Year if he continues to produce the level that he had. As far as how do I see things working out at Golden State for Jimmy Butler, this is an interesting situation. I'm sure he's going to be motivated to put together some big games and albums, and I'm sure he will. I feel like this is being done to try and help extend Steph Curry's window to compete or vie for a championship. And I just don't believe that that window is as extensive as it once was several years ago. While Butler can provide Steph with an auxiliary playmaker who can initiate offense and create for others, they still did not address their issue in the paint when it comes to size at all. That's the one thing that they needed to get more than anything was a big. Because when they go up against these teams in the West, should they get to the playoffs, which is not guaranteed, but should they get to the playoffs, you talk about having to deal with Nikola Jokic in Denver, Chet Holmgren in Oklahoma City, guys like Jaren Jackson Jr. in Memphis, Alperen Sengun, Mark Williams now with the Lakers, Daniel Gafford, Derek Lively. Like, you don't have the size to go toe-to-toe with these guys. That's going to be a significant issue for a Golden State squad that still believes that they have championship aspirations under general manager Mike Dunleavy Jr., who, as we have talked about in previous episodes of the New 24 podcast, has stepped into some large shoes that he has to fill following Bob Myers.
The craziest part is they still have Jonathan Kuminga, a very polarizing figure for people like myself and I'm sure other fans. Him and Jimmy Butler play the same position, pretty much. The fit with him and Andrew Wiggins wasn't the greatest. From an outside shooting standpoint, I consider Andrew Wiggins a better outside shooter than Jimmy Butler. That's just me personally. Jimmy likes to work around the paint in the short mid-range area, similar to Kuminga likes to work the middle of the floor. Steve Kerr already been having issues managing that situation. This seems like a even more stressful situation. On a positive side, maybe some of Jimmy's attitude and work habits rubs off on Jonathan Kuminga. Because I can see in some ways, if you could play puppet master as the Joe Lacob in the Warriors franchise, not keeping Jimmy long term, but you can kind of turn Jonathan Kuminga into a form of him long term for yourself, then sure, go ahead. Because they obviously, the time to move them was probably this deadline, and they didn't. So I think at this point, it's safe to assume they'll be committing to him long-term as well, too.
Got to ask you a question since you brought up Jonathan Kuminga. Do you believe there's any way that he can grow into his full potential over there, especially when you consider what you just said about Jimmy Butler and him playing the same position and kind of being in the way of one another? When I thought about the trade initially, That was one of my first reactions to it as well. It's like, well, how does Kuminga fit in to the picture now? Especially after he was beginning to turn a corner prior to getting injured as of recent time.
You got to have a coach that believes in you. And just from watching the substitution patterns and the lineup changes over the past couple of years, I don't believe Jonathan Kuminga and Steve Kerr have that relationship. So I think until Jonathan Kuminga is no longer playing for Steve Kerr, we won't see all that Jonathan Kuminga believes he can be. He's never really truly had that green light for real. Yeah, he gets the 25 to 30 point outburst here and there, but somebody's still on the sidelines giving him a side eye behind it too, because he's still not playing Golden State Warriors basketball the way they like to play it. And Jimmy kind of the same way too. Jimmy can move the ball, but the ball kind of sticks in Jimmy's hand too a lot. And I wonder if that's going to end up being a conflict. Oh, Steve Kerr got 4 rings already as a coach, man. I mean, I know he loves Steph. Steph Curry is one of the greatest, and you know you probably want to stay there and go to the distance with him. But I think that's going to be the next move from the Warriors, honestly. Before, unless they can get that trade off I was speaking about earlier, with possibly moving Jimmy for somebody else to do something. But Steve Kerr, like, he's just been having an interesting few years coaching, man.
You bring up Jimmy Butler and his struggles from 3-point range. He's actually shooting 36% from 3-point land this season. However, he's only attempting maybe like 1.5 threes per game. He's going to have to shoot the ball a little bit more in Golden State's offensive attack just to help keep the defense honest a little bit. As we all know that that's not his greatest strength. And as you alluded to earlier, Andrew Wiggins has been known to be a better three-point shooter over the course of his career than Jimmy Butler. Want to move the show along. We've discussed all of the major moves to take shape. Let's play a game of rapid fire. I'm going to name 4 teams and ask you what your overall thoughts are on them following the moves that they managed to make or didn't make at the trade deadline, beginning with the Atlanta Hawks. We know that the Atlanta Hawks traded away DeAndre Hunter today in exchange for Caris LeVert and Georges Niang and future draft capital.
I mean, as far as the Atlanta Hawks, I don't really see how it helps them on the surface. Not this season, at least. Yeah, I mean, they were in the play-in race. DeAndre Hunter, like, he did add to the team's success early at one point in the season. And they traded Bogey as well, too, right?
Correct. They traded Bogdan Bogdanovic to the LA Clippers in exchange for Terrence Mann, as well as Bones Highland. And I believe they got 2 second round picks out of that deal as well.
Yeah, I just, they clearly look like they about to commit to a rebuild, but they're doing it in a very strange way. It's almost like we planning on rebuilding, but hey, Trey, you got us in the play-in race. It's up to you, man, for real. It's up to you. Now, is he a part of their long-term plans? I'll ask you to take it from here and let us know what you think about all of that.
I have no words in regards to whether or not Trey is part of their long-term plans after the day, but I'll say this. When it comes to the DeAndre Hunter deal, they so high on him, but they didn't get a first-round pick back. I'd be very shocked if either one of those pick swaps that they have go through, since Cleveland has such a great team right now and they're currently boasting the best record in the Eastern Conference. I just don't understand what the Atlanta Hawks are trying to do right now. I understand that they're trying to cut salary, and if that was the objective today, they did a great job of that. You get a piece in Terrence Mann back who helps your point of attack defense, but up and down offensively. Georges Niang, get a shooter. You got rid of Bogdanovich. You get rid of DeAndre Hunter. If you're really trying to cut cap space, why not just let Clint Capela go as well? Especially when he's on an expiring contract and seek to get back any draft capital in which you can, knowing damn well that you owe your first round pick this year to the San Antonio Spurs as a part of the DeJounte Murray trade that you did a few summers ago back in the summer of 2022.
We keep bringing us up amongst multiple teams, and I know that they got new rules with the CBA. There's been a few changes. So there has to be a reason as to why some of these teams are carrying these expiring contracts through the end of the season. You mentioned Clint Capela. You got same with Julius Randle over there in Minnesota, who you'd for sure be like, all right, they're going to figure out how to move that contract while they still have control of it. And there are a few more guys and teams. Maybe it has to be something like that. Keeping Clint Capela, to me, that just sounds like I said, we're still going to give Trey just enough to make the play-in because we ultimately don't have control of our pick anyway. But we're going to start tearing down from the pieces, from the sides, if you will. Because they got two guys that we know for sure would be there. And that's what, Risha Shea and Jalen Johnson.
Yeah, I just don't understand what it is they're trying to do. I walk away from this trade deadline wondering, honestly, after not wondering earlier this season, but damn sure now, whether or not they intend to trade Trae Young this upcoming summer. But I want to move on to the next team on a rapid fire countdown. That is the Phoenix Suns.
They just made shit very awkward. It has to be an awkward situation. You publicly, whether from your side or Jimmy's side, it's known that that's the move that was supposed to happen. We know that Devin Booker just became the all-time leading scorer in franchise history. And we know that Kevin Durant is Kevin Durant. So if anybody was going to get moved, it would be Bradley Beal. But he got a no-trade clause. They offered Bradley Beal a chance to move to Miami, and he still said, nah, he cool. Want his family to be comfortable. He values stability. That's what the no-trade clause for. But you got people at work that's like, hey, bro, look, we got some shit we trying to get done. We just need you to take care of that. And he like, nah, I feel you, but I value stability. And now Kevin Durant name get thrown in trade rumors. Up to the minute. They was talking about even pairing him up with Anthony Edwards. I don't see, like, I mean, only because guys just that talented, but Phoenix is kind of playing in between that play-in, out the playoffs, top six seed. Like, the West is real crowded. Hey, a bad winning streak could knock anybody out the playoffs, let alone a play-in, the playoffs. I mean, I don't know how guys play for each other, like, pretty much knowing you Bradley Beal, guys wanted you to get moved. And if you Kevin Durant, they were willing to move you because they couldn't get the first move done. And yo, you got an expiring contract coming up next season. Another team doing some very interesting shit.
As of this recording right now, Thorns, the Phoenix Suns sit with a 25-25 record through 50 games. They are currently tied record-wise with the Sacramento Kings and the Golden State Warriors. They sit 10th overall in the standings, which means for our listeners that they are currently sitting in the final play-in spot out west right now, but by a thread. One loss can put them right out of it. And like Torrance said, a bad week is something that they just really can't afford to have at this point of the year and probably at any other point of the year once we get past the All-Star break and enter the home stretch of the season. Phoenix wanted to make a major trade to improve their roster. That was no secret. They were a team that was linked to Jimmy Butler constantly. And we know why they wanted to do it, right? You've committed to Kevin Durant, Bradley Beal, Devin Booker, all this money you have tied up into that big three. You do it because you want to improve the roster, elevate yourself up in the standings, make that deep run in the playoffs with KD and Devin Booker. Yet, after a hot start to the season, you run into tough stretches. Like you said, Bradley Beal doesn't want to waive his no trade clause. If he was willing to do that, things could have been a little different. However, teams were also hesitant to take on the remaining 2 years and almost $111 million that he has left on his contract. And can you blame him? No, because like I said earlier in regards to Chris Middleton, the best ability is your availability. And Bradley Beal has had an extensive history with injuries, especially over the last few seasons. The Suns had to dump a first-round pick to Charlotte just to trade away Yusuf Nurkic, who had to get sent home because he found himself completely out of the rotation under Mike Budenholzer. And that first round pick that they traded was the first round pick that they got in a deal that they did with Utah and in exchange for multiple picks. At this point, I'm just going to say it. Don't be shocked if Kevin Durant gets fed up and you see around July from Sham Sharani or ESPN that Kevin Durant wants out of Phoenix. Don't be surprised if you see that. And I've never seen a player get in the headlines in the final hour of the deadline the way that he did as a guy that could possibly be traded. 1 minute, you say Minnesota. It was Minnesota. Then the next minute, it was Memphis that was seeking to acquire him. Like, Phoenix is in this place right now where it's like, well, should I stay or should I go? Isbia, you got to make up your mind. And I know that you're a new owner. And what do new owners love to do? They love to spend money. Mark Cuban showed us this 20 years ago. And it's cool to spend money. Steve Ballmer likes spending money. But when you spend your money, you got to spend it wisely. And I think right now, the Phoenix Suns are in that state where they just looking at the crossroads like, hey, we might have fucked this up.
Oh, take they it, fucked it up.
Yeah, you know, we might have fucked this up. They took an operation out of James Jones' hand, in my opinion, in my humble opinion, and went all in on getting Kevin Durant. From that moment, it has not been the same.
No, it has not. And you got to the NBA Finals with the previous iteration of how the team was built, and it was a way more balanced attack. It didn't have a lot of depth, but it wasn't as much of an issue as it is now. They were solid defensively. The ball was in Devin Booker's hands, but not as much. He got to play a lot more off the ball in his comfort zone. You had Mikal Bridges. You had the darling of the trade deadline who didn't get moved, Cam Johnson, at one point. I don't know, man. But once again, Pacific Division, you can't afford mistakes. And the Phoenix Suns are making a lot of mistakes. They're going to find themselves back in that lottery rebuilding without both of their superstars. Because if I'm Book and you move KD, who you bringing in here better than KD?
Let's get into the Cleveland Cavaliers. Team currently boasts the best record in the Eastern Conference. And they made a big-time move in the hours prior to the conclusion of the trade deadline, bringing in DeAndre Hunter in a deal with the Atlanta Hawks. This guy has put together a career year after dealing with some injuries, putting up damn near 20 points per game, and has done a phenomenal job off of the bench for Quinn Snyder's group. Now looking to insert himself into Kenny Atkinson's regime out in Atlanta.
Well, a lot of people already, for one, got him starting. So he's apparently about to go from being on the Atlanta Hawks bench to starting for the number one seed in the East. And I don't know if the math is all the way mathing in that situation, but people believe in DeAndre Hunter's talent. I don't feel like this moves the needle for the Cavs. Yeah, you kind of, in a way, you feel like you're shoring up that starting five with the other four guys, with Garland, Mitchell, Mobley, and Allen. To me personally, at the rate they're going, you got to start speaking championship. And I don't feel like this move makes them any more competitive with the Boston Celtics or the New York Knicks, in my opinion. Maybe you could talk me out of it, but I don't just see it as being a move that just puts them over the top.
It's not a move that guarantees that you're going to be at the top, but I think it's a move that is a solid move, because now you can insert DeAndre Hunter into the starting lineup, which I've always looked at DeAndre Hunter as, even though I thought he was putting himself in a great position to be considered for sixth man of the year prior to this move. DeAndre Hunter is going to get him a guy that is athletic enough to defend the premier wings of the league, and a guy that is capable of knocking down catch and shoot threes at a very high clip. Caris LeVert, as great as he was for Cleveland this year from beyond the arc, you know, he liked to get in his bag a little bit when he out there with the second unit. DeAndre Hunter is a guy that's more willing to play within the flow of the offense. I think having Hunter in the front court beside Jared Allen and Evan Mobley is going to do wonders for the defense. And you combine that with his offensive output, if he can continue to play at the consistent level to which he has this season and remain healthy, I think it's a great pickup for Cleveland. Doesn't guarantee them anything by any stretch. The East is still Boston's for the taking from my vantage point. But I do believe that with this move, Cleveland has a very strong starting five.
They got a five they can close with too. They can at least know. They know final five going to be. Correct. And he got the good size to help them switch on defense as well, too. So, I mean, there is positives I see. I just don't think – I mean, I guess it's a good move, even for research purposes. Maybe you still, like, get to the offseason, depending on what happens, and see that might still be a spot that we need to upgrade in that starting lineup.
I like the move for Cleveland.
Because it's an upgrade, too.
Yeah, it's a much-needed upgrade, for one. And it's an upgrade that I believe that they can – and find success with and utilize as a way to get to the Eastern Conference Final. Because the way I see it, yes, is a goal a championship for the Cleveland Cavaliers this year? It should be after the hot start that they've gotten off to. But as we know, they're a team that's going to have to show up, show out, and prove it, because a lot of people are going to count them out, rightfully so, because we have not seen this group get past the Eastern Conference semifinals. And when we saw them get to the Eastern Conference semifinals a season ago, they struggled at the hands of the Orlando Magic to do so. So, you know, they got their work cut out for them, but I think it's a good move.
It took them 52 years to win a championship until LeBron James arrived. Don't hold your breath, Cleveland.
And last but not least, I want to get to the New Orleans Pelicans. Traded away Brandon Ingram, a guy that received all-star honors as a member of that franchise. Zion Williamson's name was floating around in a bevy of trade rumors. They decided to hold on to him. CJ McCollum was also involved in plenty of trade rumors. I saw a lot of reports out there that linked him to the Detroit Pistons. Nothing happened. He stays and sticks around in the Big Easy as well.
Once again, I said it earlier. I don't know what the fuck the Pelicans doing, man. I don't know what they doing, bro. Like, for what? Why? You're not making the playoffs. You're not making the play-in. Why?
I'm trying to figure them out, bro. I'm really trying to figure them out. I don't know what's going on in New Orleans.
Because where's one thing to point out? Trading Brandon Ingram, that was the last piece of the Anthony Davis trade. They've traded everything that they received from the Anthony Davis trade. Meanwhile, the Lakers won the championship, and they turned Anthony Davis into Luka Doncic. This is a game of asset building. And the Pelicans, they squandering assets. They squandered DeMarcus Cousins' career. They did the same almost with Anthony Davis. And right now they holding Zion Williamson hostage. What are we doing? David Griffin had a lot of hype at one point, man. The work ain't meeting the hype. I mean, you got some great picks when you find guys like Herb Jones and Trey Murphy and the like, but Dyson Daniels, but then you don't have them anymore.
Yeah, and I remember the Dyson Daniels trade. I didn't understand that at all because I remember when the Pelicans got off to an extremely hot start a couple seasons ago when Zion Williamson earned his second All-Star nod. I remember Dyson Daniels being a big part in that with his defensive ability. And now you see him out in Atlanta being a game record on the defensive end of the floor, getting steals left and right, looking like a guy that will be a worthy candidate of an all-defensive team this season. When I look at what the Pelicans are doing, you bring up the Anthony Davis trade. I'll never forget once that trade went final. A lot of people were out here saying, oh, man, the Pelicans won that trade. You know, they got the assets. They got this, that. They never maximized on those assets. They let one asset in particular walk in Lonzo Ball despite showing great chemistry besides Zion Williamson in the limited minutes in which they played beside one another. You trade away Josh Hart. It's like it's a lot of things with this franchise. I just don't understand. Even in spite of some of the success stories, which Trey Murphy has been this season, he's really evolved and looks like a guy that could be a cornerstone player for them. Outside of him and Zion, and like you say, Herb Jones, you had all this stockpile level of talent, and you just didn't capitalize with it. It's just very unfortunate to see. I don't know what's going on out there in the Big Easy, but man, it's not looking pretty.
Now I say this. This is the theme of the week. There is no such thing as an equal trade for a superstar. You felt like you got a great haul for Anthony Davis, but the other team got Anthony Davis. People like, oh, Luka, the Lakers. The Lakers could have got more picks. They could have got 5 first-rounders, 10 first. There was never going to be an equal trade for Luka Doncic if he's the guy that you all feel like he is as this premier superstar in the league. It doesn't happen. And I think sometimes a lot of these GMs get caught up in trying to make a trade look good instead of what makes sense for the basketball team that they have now. Because who's the starting five for the New Orleans Pelicans? Why weren't the Pelicans trying to get a Mark Williams? You don't think that Zion would be benefited by having a tall rim protector? Do you think a point guard wouldn't be benefited by having Zion and another lob threat out there on the floor? Hey, I guess you got to have winners and losers in sports. And the Pelicans have chosen to be losers over and over again.
They have a center of the future. His name is Eve Misi from Baylor. He was the Western Conference Rookie of the Month in December. He's a guy that has a tremendous amount of upside. But, yeah, a guy like Mark Williams could have been an ideal fit for them. I think getting a wing, especially following the loss of Brandon Ingram, has to be essential to New Orleans and this upcoming draft class. I just don't like what I'm seeing over there at all. It's just very unfortunate, especially when this was a team that showed tremendous promise a couple of years ago with Zion Williams.
And that's the thing. Well, we don't know what the team is that should be built. They've tried so many different ways to build this team in such a short time. Like, they haven't let anything take time to develop, gel, Bland. DeJounte Murray is hurt now.
Yeah, tore his Achilles, out for the season.
So, like, even when you speak on them having the center of the future, it's like they got to learn how to even keep guys healthy down there. That seems to be a issue over time with them. Dating back before David Griffin.
Correct, because during the Anthony Davis era, they had an extensive problem with injuries. And I don't know what that's about. And remember, when Dave Griffin got there,
that was one of the things.
They cleaned the whole medical staff, remember?
Yeah,
the whole medical staff out, and they still having that problem.
Yep, that's what they said. That's what they did. That's what they said they did. Work ain't showing. Or maybe guys just feel like, hey, man, I'm trying to conserve myself because the day I can sign that paper and get out of here, I'm gone.
And speaking of being gone, that's a wrap on the official recap and review of this year's trade deadline here on Second Chance Points, an extension of the new 24 podcast. If you want to hear our thoughts on De'Aaron Fox landing out in San Antonio to team up beside the alien and Victor Wembanyama, as well as whether or not we trust in the Arturis Karnisovas and Mark Eversley regime out of Chicago, please feel free to check out episode 13 of the new 24 podcast. If you haven't already this week, you can also hear our overall reaction regarding the infamous deal that sent Luka Doncic to the Los Angeles Lakers on a trade of the century episode for Second Chance Points that we recorded earlier this week as well, before seeing the Don make his official debut in the purple and gold against the Indiana Pacers this upcoming weekend on ESPN. And if you've enjoyed what you've heard during this episode and are a loyal listener of the show, please don't hesitate to leave us a 5-star rating with some comments on what you enjoy and love about the show on any of the podcast platforms you consume to listen to us each week, while also taking the time to subscribe to the new 24 podcast. If you haven't already, as you can do so at rss.com/podcast/TNTF to ensure that you don't miss out on any future episodes. Follow us on Twitter or X, as it is now known, at What Gave Said, GAVE, and Torrance at TStacks_STACKS. If you like to engage with us, have discussions around the game and more, with myself, Gabriel Wilkins, and my co-host, Torrance Stagger, stay safe and enjoy your weekend. Peace.